Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. One thing that I don't want to lose sight of in our debate back and forth about where you potentially think Rashee Rice is. Doesn't matter if you think he's the 7th best wide receiver in the league or the 17th best wide receiver in the league or whatever, right? Like, we might disagree on where you would rank him. But I think we all can come together and agree with adding one of those kinds of players in their offense is a tremendous advantage for this team. It doesn't matter if you think he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown or I think he's better than DeVonta Smith or whatever. Like, can you imagine adding DeVonta Smith to this offense? And imagine what adding a player like with his durability, his hands, his route running ability, what it would mean to add to this offense. And if you gave that player to Patrick Mahomes, what he could potentially do. You don't have to play those hypotheticals with Rashee Rice. We've seen it in a very limited size, and it's been a while since we've seen it. But the Chiefs are adding one of the better wide receivers in the National Football League. I'll take it one step further. Since Tyreek Hill, they have not added a in their prime 25-year-old wide receiver to their roster. They've added some good wide receivers. You drafted Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy's 22 years old. We still think that the best is to come for Xavier Worthy. That's not what we were arguing Juju was whenever they acquired him. Certainly not the second time they brought him back. Not bringing back Mecole Hardman. That's not what we thought Hollywood Brown was. You got Hollywood Brown on 2 1-year contracts. We're talking about a in his prime, still fighting for a second contract, 25-year-old wide receiver. We're still in the middle of his rookie contract. This is year 3 of his deal. Now, I don't care what happens at the end of the season. They are certainly going to pick up his 5th-year option. So we're talking about right now from the end of his rookie contract, they still got 2.5 more years of Rashee Rice on their team. And that's not counting.
They don't have a 5th-year option on Rice, do they? Because he's second-round pick.
You're right, second-round pick. My apologies. You're right. So they still got 1.5 years on him, if that's the case. So you still got 1.5 years. You still got, in this scenario, you still got almost 30 games to make a decision on what you want to do with that kind of player. Thanks for the correction. We're just talking about a long period of time on what you want to do with the player. So that's an exciting time. And for the last 18 months, we have been having conversations about what you think their offense can look like and what the ceiling is for their offense. Coming up in a couple of days, they are going to have a 25-year-old Rashee Rice, a 22-year-old Xavier Worthy, a 24-year-old Tyquan Thornton. Now, your older players are Juju and Hollywood Brown, that you now move those guys down, and that's your 4th and 5th option. We're not factoring in that you got Travis Kelce, that maybe he's not the Travis Kelce of old, but he's still one of the 5 best tight ends in the National Football League. And Isaiah Pacheco, who is starting to play with more confidence, and they're starting to run from under center. Like, we go from an offense that just was kind of limited on options, I would say, a year ago, an offense that was dealing with a lot of injuries, to now, you got just about everybody back, everybody fully healthy, and right now, the only question with the offense is, when do you get your potential Pro Bowl left tackle back?
It is a really, really good spot to be in if you're the Chiefs. We will talk about Josh Simmons here in a minute, but the fact that they are adding, and you're right, maybe he's 7, maybe he's 17. We don't need to fight too much about where Rashee Rice is. The fact of the matter is they are adding a guy who in this offense before was a 900 to 1,000-yard receiver and started hot last year is a huge boost for a team that just 3 weeks ago we were saying, what's the deal with the offense? Suddenly the offense come to life, and it's about to roar even further to life when he gets back into the fold.
So I think that's one of the biggest stories right now. I would say that story number one is that the Chiefs are getting back Rashee Rice. He has not practiced with the Chiefs, at least in the regular season. He participated in preseason and training camp. He has not practiced with the team since September 27th of last year. He has not played in a regular season game since September 29th of last year. So it has been a very long time. We're talking, what, 13 months since Rashee Rice has played in a meaningful game for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was trending in a very positive direction the last time that he was on the field. Now, let's see what it looks like. I think it's important to note that we're talking about twofold. We're talking about you coming back from suspension, so timing, trying to get that back right. And we also have to talk about why you missed the second half of last season. You had a significant knee injury that sidelined you for the remaining 14 games of the season last year. So you're not only coming back from missing time because of the off-the-field incident, you also missed time because of the injury that you had last year. And how do you incorporate that player into your offense, and how do you get things going? That's going to be a major question for the Chiefs over these next couple of weeks as they ramp up for the game against the Buffalo Bills. We'll play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes here coming up in a bit, but let's get to hit number one.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home. And now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for The Hits. Number one.
Carrying The Hits brought to you at Baker University, where this weekend on the 18th and 19th of October, more than 30,000 visitors will gather under Baldwin City's brilliant maple trees for Maple Leaf Fest. Enjoy family fun, food, music, and art as they celebrate over 65 years of Kansas tradition. Details at bakeru.edu/Maple Leaf.
Shout out to the Maple Leaf Festival coming up this weekend out in Baker, Kansas. Have you ever been to Baker, Kansas before, Rob?
I have. It's in beautiful Baldwin City.
Oh, it's in Baldwin City. Mm-hmm. It's not Baker, Kansas. It's Baldwin City, Kansas. Mm-hmm.
Baldwin
and Baker
City
is there.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got to brush up on my Kansas University, Kansas College.
Gotta know
knowledge.
Where
I don't have. I don't have nearly enough of it.
I have been to Baldwin City. I had a friend that went to Baker.
That sounds like one of the teams KU would play in the non-con.
It sounds like it's like Washburn. Like,
yeah, hey, for sure.
We're gonna play in that exhibition game at Allen.
Baker's giving Washburn buckets if they played each
100%. Ichabod's don't know what's about to hit them.
No clue what's about to happen. All right, let's talk about Josh Simmons for a little bit, and then we'll play our interview with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I think the Chiefs have caused a small portion of this. This is why. Whenever information comes out, you usually have to ask yourself, where do you think this information came from? So when we originally found out that Josh Simmons was not going to play on Sunday, it was for a personal reason, okay? It then was a follow-up tweet from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network that said that the Chiefs front office, they were not all made aware of this, which I would say is pretty unusual. There is usually a protocol at everybody's job. Now, I know their job is different than our job, but everybody's job got rules, and I think most people know at your job what you need to do to ask off. And if you don't follow it, it is a little bit unusual. Now, I'm not here to speculate. I've told you guys when it comes to this, I'm not here to offer up any hypothesis, no theory. I'm not here to spread any rumors about what I heard. When the news is out, the news is out, and we will react to the news. But I think it's uncomfortable, and I think it's irresponsible to try to speculate why Josh Simmons is not at work. When we find out, we'll find out. But I think the Chiefs created some of this because that report, in my opinion, came from the Chiefs. Why would his agent, A, tell NFL Network that he's not showing up and then they didn't tell the Chiefs front office this was the case? Where else do we think this information would have came from than inside the Chiefs building and from somebody that would be in the know with the Kansas City Chiefs? I then think you add it to the quote that we got from Nate Taylor, who works at ESPN, also about what he's hearing regarding this and how this appears to be a bit of an unusual situation.
Where he went through the entire pregame warmup and he didn't feel right. And I don't know if that was like, hey, you ate something or because of the heat, because it was very hot that night. And like, hey, for whatever reason, like you're just not feeling great. Okay, put him down as questionable for illness, even though the game hasn't even started. Played the game, played really, really well. I don't think he talked to many reporters because, again, you kind of know the situation. Dude not feeling good. So I know I didn't talk to him after the game in Jacksonville. And then we have this situation. And I'm trying to be reasonable, trying to be respectful. Like, would I be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday? Would I be surprised if he's not with the team all week? Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, I guess no. But it does make this perhaps a bit more mysterious, a bit more strange and odd, unusual is a word I've been hearing a lot. And talking to people in and around, you know, the team and the league.
the word being thrown around the league and around the team is unusual. Now, I completely respect Josh Simmons' privacy during this situation, and I don't think we're owed something. But I think we have to be practical about this. If you wanted to throw water on this, there is a very simple statement that all sides could release and could end all of this conversation. If the team released this statement and it was signed by Josh Simmons, this would end. We have been in communication with Josh Simmons. He is dealing with a personal family matter that will be addressed at a later date. Right now, we are offering up all our support to him, and we will give you an update when he is ready to do it. If the Chiefs said that and it was signed by Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Josh Simmons, there would be no story here. It would appear that everybody is on the same page. But when the Chiefs have been a little bit secretive and haven't really been answering any things, and they don't fill in the blanks for you, it then causes you to fill in the blanks for what's going on. And that's what I think has happened here when it's come to Josh Simmons. I don't think they're giving you anything. So now it leads to people trying to hypothesize and theorize what they think is currently happening. Right now on the text line, there are 19 different suggestions on what's happening with Josh Simmons. We have killed every family member. Every family member is having a serious... None of us know. Everybody is guessing in this scenario. There could have been a way to potentially end that if that's the case. Now, where I will be a little bit critical, I think, of how it is being discussed about it. I think this happens pretty regularly. I think whenever something happens, there is a belief from people in Kansas City that the media doesn't ask tough questions and doesn't challenge the team on anything until it's time to actually challenge the team on something. And then when the media actually pushes back, it's a, oh, you guys, why are you doing this? Move on. Come on now. Hold on. This is the game. Something is happening with the team. You've got great journalists in this city that are asking the questions that you should be asking. So the Chiefs don't have to give a statement. They don't have to give you anything. It's certainly their right as an organization. Hey, we ain't talking about right now. Accept the answer. But I respect a guy like Pete Sweeney trying to go figure out what's going on. A guy like Jesse Newell, a guy like Nate Taylor, Sam McDowell, guys that do this for a living. To me, it's their job to try to figure out what it is. There's a question that needs answering with the Chiefs. Somebody go answer it. So I don't have a problem with that. I would say in that situation, the game is the game. And if Andy doesn't want to answer, that's perfectly fine. But as long as the Chiefs allow this thing to be covered in mystery, then you're going to allow everybody to offer up an opinion, a suggestion, or a theory on what is potentially happening. We'll talk about this more coming up. But right now, let's play for you guys our conversation with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right, three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT. Exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Every Wednesday at 3:15, we are joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. And his appearance on the show is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Our conversation started with he has won AFC Player of the Week in two of the last 3 weeks. Last time he told us, he found out on social media. I wanted to know if I was the first person to tell him that he won the award.
Yeah, for sure. I just came from the walkthrough, so you are the first person to inform me that. That's awesome.
Look at that. We've had a lot of firsts in our lives. I never thought I'd be the first to tell you that you won an award that obviously you care so much about.
No, it still is. It's an honor, man. I mean, there's a lot of great football players in this league, and I appreciate you keeping me updated on everything happening in the NFL.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. There was a kerfluffle at the end of Sunday Night Football. You were in the middle of it, so to speak. Just tell us your view, your vantage point. What happened at the end of Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of a scuffle broke out, and I was just trying to get it all separated. So, it happens. It's football. It's competitive, and everybody wants to win. But now we kind of move on and keep it rolling. That's kind of the part of the game that we kind of have to deal with sometimes.
Have you ever been a part of something like that at the end of the game? It kind of felt like the end of a college football game. You know, we've kind of seen that in those rivalry games. Obviously not the case with this one. Have you been a part of anything like that at the end of a football game?
No scuffles or anything like that. I mean, obviously it's an emotional game, and everybody is competing to win, and sometimes the emotion gets the best of us, but no scuffles for me, no.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. A couple of things that I want you to be aware of. You are the fastest player in NFL history to throw for 300 touchdown passes in their career. I feel like you've done so many of these things over your career. Is that something that people notify you of? Is that even something that you think about while the season is ongoing?
No, I mean, other than like just noticing on like social media and stuff after the game. You don't focus on that stuff during the seasons, especially. I mean, obviously when I look back at the season and review after the season or at the end of my career, I'm sure I'll really appreciate those things. And I know how hard it is and all the great guys that have come before me, but you're so focused on just trying to find ways to get wins in this league that you can't focus on those other things.
You are currently leading the MVP votes. I know it's very early on in the season, so I mean, no real reason to dive deep into it, but I think that's really an indication of how you've played so far in the first six games of the season and how this offense has really progressed over the last 3-4 weeks as well.
Yeah, we've gotten better. I mean, we're getting better and better each and every week, and that's all you can ask for is to continue to show improvements and learn from your mistakes in previous weeks. But it's still a long season ahead, and we're not where we want to be at, so we got to find ways to continue to get better and better as the season goes on to try to put ourselves in position to get to the playoffs and try to win the division.
It finally feels like we're here. You and I have talked about it. I'm sure you've been asked about it a million times. Rashee Rice is finally coming back to this offense. Let's just start with this. What does it mean to have a player like of his caliber and adding him to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things. I mean, obviously the player, I mean, he's an extremely talented player. He can do a lot of things, catching the football, running routes, being explosive and making plays happen all over the football field, from the line of scrimmage all the way to 50, 60 yards down the field, and other special type of players. And so the player is one thing, but I think more than that is just the mentality and the energy that he brings. I mean, those receivers, man, they're like best friends. And so to finally get the full group together, it's going to be fun to watch because they've been building for it and they've worked through some adversity to get there with injuries and things like that. But so now let's get these guys out there and let them have fun and go out and play the game they love.
You mentioned having the full group. I mean, you haven't had them at any point. You haven't had Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time. You then add Juju Smith-Schuster into that mix. You add Tyquan Thornton into the mix. You got a very full wide receiver room at this point with a lot of explosiveness.
100%. I mean, obviously, we've dealt with injuries before, but I think that's made other guys better. They've had to accept the challenges, and you've seen guys like Tyquan and Hollywood and Juju and really everybody step up in their roles and take on bigger roles. And then now we're adding the guys back with Xavier and now Rashee. It's just going to make the whole room better. And they've all been pushing each other to be even better. And like I said, they're best friends, man. It's like one of the best rooms I think I've ever seen and been a part of, just how much they root for each other and want each other to succeed.
How do you make sure everybody eats right now in the offense when you got so many mouths to feed? You have done a great job in your career kind of spreading the ball around. This is as many options as you've had kind of at one time. How do you kind of make sure that everybody gets their chances to eat in the offense right now?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of kind of two things. First off, I think with Coach Reed and Coach Nagy, they do a great job of the guys know the plays and know who's kind of the plays are called for, and everybody gets their turn to having to be in the main option on the play call. And obviously, that doesn't always mean you get the ball, but I think you know that if the coaches are trying to get you the ball, that kind of helps out. And then they know with me, it doesn't matter who it is. If they're open, I'm going to throw you the football. That's just kind of how I've always rolled. I don't know if it's playing in the Big 12, playing in the air raid. That's kind of the mentality I've always had. And so they know if they get in that game and they get open, I'm going to throw them the football. And so they come in with the mentality to get open and do their job every single play.
Let's kind of go back a little bit to Sunday Night Football. Let's just start with this. What was it like to control the game and play as well as you guys played against one of the better teams in the league? I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and you guys handled them on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great team to go up against. And I know that it was going to be a competitive game going into the game, and we had to play our best football, and it was good to see. I mean, that if we play our best football, we can compete against anybody, and I was proud of how everybody responded. I mean, there was highs and lows, but no one held their head down. They just battled through adversity, and we were able to get kind of advantage of that game going into the second half, and we kept that momentum going throughout the rest of the game.
I saw that this season you guys are 10 of 12 on fourth down conversion so far. I also feel like you guys have been a little bit more aggressive than you usually have been on fourth downs. I guess what kind of starts that? What has made you guys more aggressive on fourth downs this season?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's just the plan that we have going into the game. I mean, I think you've seen some of the plays that we've kind of called even on third downs to be more aggressive and take maybe a shot here or there on third down, knowing we might go on fourth down or run the ball or whatever that is. It's like we have a mindset and a plan going into each and every game. And I think it's just being on the same pages with the coaches and them trusting me even more. I mean, the fact that I've been in the offense for so long now and they trust that I'm going to make the right decisions in the right time, it's helped us be a little bit more aggressive, and then knowing our defense is going to get stops when we don't get it, I think that's also an important part of it.
One thing I've really tried to stress this week on the show is I don't think people are giving enough credit to what Jalen Moore just did on Sunday Night Football. I imagine he hasn't been getting a lot of reps with the ones, hasn't been playing for this team, had a baby earlier on Sunday. For him to play and play as well as he did, I was really happy to see the Coach Reed kind of pointed that out and gave him the game ball. Let's just talk a little bit more about Jalen Moore, kind of this experience for him and how well he stepped in for you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it just showcased how he's been the entire time he's been in here. I mean, he's a guy, true professional, someone that works his tail off every single day. No matter what you ask him to do, we've asked him to play left tackle, right tackle, guards, both positions, and it's every day he comes out and tries to be the best that he can be, and you need those guys on your team. And I mean, obviously, he wants to play every single week. He hasn't had the opportunity to, but he knew when his opportunity was going to come, he was going to be ready, and he showcased that against one of the best premier pass rushers in this league, and I was very proud of him and how he went out there and competed.
Fast forwarding to Sunday here for just a bit. A lot of times I cannot relate to your job, but this might be the one time I can do it. You got a real 9 to 5 coming up this week. You never get off work this early.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to be a challenge. I mean, going up against the Raiders, man, it's always tough. And so we have to come with the right mindset. You know, we haven't played one of these early games yet, and so we got to wake up, be ready to go, knowing that it's going to take our best effort in order to find a way to win at Arrowhead.
Going back to your rookie year, who was that guy that kind of came in to explain the rivalry to it? You know, we see this in colleges all the time, you know, where you got a former player come by and then speak to the kids to help them understand the importance of the rivalry. Who was that player that came back to you guys to explain how important Chiefs and rivalry is to this community and to this fan base?
I mean, there was a lot of guys. I mean, I came in with a lot of vets on this team that had been around for a long time, with Derek Johnson and Justin Houston. I mean, Alex Smith. I mean, I came in with a lot of guys that have been a part of this rivalry, and you can feel it in the building within the week. I mean, no matter if you're doing good in the season, they're doing good in the season, both doing bad, whatever it is, those guys are ready to go, and it's always a tough competitive football game. And so it's the closest thing, I think, into a true rivalry in the NFL sport is the Raiders and the Chiefs, and I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's a fun time every single time we get to go up against these guys.
What is it like to be around long enough where now you have your stories? I hate calling you the old guy, but you're starting to become one of the older guys on the team. You know, you got Christmas Day. You got the whole story about them riding the bus around the stadium. You guys have obviously had a lot of success against the Raiders as well. Now you got your own Raiders stories to tell the younger players.
Yeah, no, I mean, you share that information, man, because you got to build up for the rivalry. You got to match the intensity of the team on the other side. And so it'll be a great game. I'm super excited for it, going up against a good football team with a lot of great football players, and they'll be ready to go.
I got to ask you two questions before we get out of here, two fun questions that we've been talking about on the show. The first one is, there is a word that nobody can spell. Like, there's a word that gives you trouble. That word for me is convenience. I try to get as close as I can, and then I let spell check take over. What is that word for you that just you can't spell that you need spell check to spell for you?
Yeah, no, for me, I don't know why, and I use this word a lot, but it's itinerary. I can't spell it, and I get that every single week from the Chiefs, and I try to type it up and send it to Brittany, and I can't get close enough for spell check, so I don't know why that word is so tough for me.
See, that's one of those words, like, whenever you say itinerary, you just got to go schedule then at that point, because they mean the exact same thing.
Oh, that's my go-to. I got to switch it to schedule because they know what I'm trying to get to.
And last one here. Who is your favorite fictional football player? I'll tell you mine. It is Tim Riggins from the TV show Friday Night Lights. I also like Joe Kane from The Program. I don't know if you've seen The Program or not, but I like Joe Kane too.
I have. I'd probably say Sunshine from Remember the Titans, Ronnie Bass. I mean, just the way he played, he was scrambling, throwing the football around, was competitive. So probably him. Or Julius from I love that movie. So, or Julius from that movie, man. I remember the Titans when I grew up. I watched that a ton.
That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. They're playing at noon this week against the Las Vegas Raiders in a AFC West matchup. Patrick, always great catching up with you, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week ahead of Monday Night Football.
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. That is our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance every Wednesday on The Drive is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Coming up on the other side, I want to play for you guys. Lions fans are still crying days later about the loss. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to play this audio for you guys. I want to play this audio for you guys because I'm a little bit disappointed, and this is why I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought Detroit was tough, man. I really did. I got a lot of respect for that city, the way that it's bounced back. I got a lot of respect for that team, for that organization, for the way that they've turned things around. I mean, the Lions have been terrible for 95% of our life. And then one day we woke up and it was, oh, wait, the Lions are good. I got a lot of respect for that fan base who have stood firm by that team through some dark years. I met some Lions fans this weekend. Great people. I got nothing but respect for the D. But the way that they've handled this week, I'm a little disappointed. It started with Brian Branch. I've never heard an NFL player say that he was tired of being bullied, especially a guy on defense. You're supposed to be the one doing the bullying. You're supposed to be the one pushing people around and knocking heads. But no, Juju, he was too physical. He blocked me too hard, and I got mad. That's how the week started. Now, we've moved on. We haven't really talked a whole lot about Detroit. We're moved on. We're talking about Rashee Rice. We're talking about Josh Simmons. We've moved on. But you know what? The Lions, this was a loss that they really struggled with. This was from their morning show. This was earlier today. Listen to this.
So Brian Branch pulls up, okay? He pulls up because Mahomes is going to score.
Doesn't need to light him up and get a penalty.
Yeah. He pulls up and he slightly bumps him. Patrick Mahomes turns and looks at Brian Branch, spins the football at his feet, points in his face, gestures again, flexes, and runs off the field. Four taunts. Four. That's 15, 15 more, 15 more, and 15 more.
Wow.
That's a 60-yard penalty. He taunted him four times. Did he get flagged? No. You know, Brian Branch has shown up on the NFL's game day accountability list more than any other player this year. This will be his fourth time. One of his accountability penalties for the very random amount of $11,593 was for taunting, okay? Mahomes taunted Branch four times on the touchdown when Branch pulled up and could have lit him up.
Do you think that we will see this week on the accountability list when they start handing out the fines for the week, Juju Smith-Schuster will get fined for his hit on Brian Branch that was unflagged? Because they will fine you for stuff that was unflagged.
Yes.
And do you think that Patrick Mahomes will get flagged for taunting?
I don't know.
He's not going to get flagged four times for the same taunt. But
no, he should.
I'm going to tell you guys something. I maybe have said this before. I can't remember. I've always told myself that when I don't have the same passion to get up and do this job, if I'm not willing to put in the same work that I put in when I first started, that means it's time for me to do something else. It's time for me just to, hey, I had a great run. I feel like I've had a great career. I've got a chance to do a lot of cool things. It's time for me to get out the game and just do something else with my life. I now want to add something to that list. If you guys ever hear me get on here and I'm complaining about taunting calls in the National Football League, also a sign this game ain't for me no more. I cannot imagine, as an NFL fan, I want them to throw flags on the quarterback of any team. I don't care if it's Kansas City, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, whomever. We want them to throw flags for spinning the ball. I mean, come on now. You guys got to throw a flag. Mahomes, I mean, just right there. I mean, in front of the defensive guy, he spun the ball in his face. What? I thought we was talking about Motown. I thought we was talking about the Motor City, the D. You guys want taunting calls because he flexed? Come on now. I mean, if there's one thing that Detroit should be used to, it's knowing how to take a loss. There's no franchise in the NFL who has gotten more practice at it than they have. They should be expert losers. They wanted a penalty because he flexed and spun the ball? Embarrassing. I'm serious. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. I mean, Mahomes, I mean, he was just, I mean, come on now. I mean, he wanted a 60-yard penalty for taunting. Hey, man, come on, Detroit. The rest of us are rooting for you. I'm serious. We really are. I want to see the Lions do well. I want to see the Lions go to the Super Bowl. I think their fan base deserves it. I'm really having to question that stance after this. Taunting penalties? Now, I understand. I'm not saying you should be able to do whatever you want. I get how they don't want your Randy Moss fake moon in the crowd. I get how they don't want you on the floor gyrating. I understand that. We want them throwing flags because they spun the ball at each other. I want them spinning the ball more often. I want them doing more wipe me down and flexing. I like when they do that. I like when they do that little bird thingy. You know the thing that the receivers do when they get a first down. I like when they do that stuff. I want you guys to hold me accountable. If you ever hear me get on here and I'm complaining that there's not enough taunting calls in the NFL, it's time to get out. It really is. It's time to get out the game. I've done this long enough. It's not my time anymore. I do think that Juju should be fine, not suspended. I think Juju should be fine. I think that Isaiah Pacheco should be fine. They did have a role in a fight. I don't think it should be nearly the fine that I think Brian Branch should get. And I think Brian Branch should be suspended and did get suspended. But yeah, Juju should get a little bit taken out of his pocket. Isaiah Pacheco should get a little bit taken out of his pocket. They did participate in a fight. But Mahomes, for celebrating a touchdown run, tackle. Be better. I don't know why we haven't. I don't know why we moved away from telling people to just be better. And we got love for 97.1 the ticket here on this show. We had somebody on from their station last week. I got no beef with them. We complaining about sportsmanship. That's what we want. More sportsmanship in the league. I can't do it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. You know what? It's not very often that this happens, but sometimes it happens. I want to apologize for a take that I had earlier today on the show. And I want to apologize because, you know what? I think I was potentially being a little bit hypocritical. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, we played this audio on the show earlier today.
It was a dinnertime staple from the 1970s. Hamburger Helper was a budget-friendly way to feed the entire family.
Hamburger Helper, help your Hamburger Helper, make a great deal.
Now, with the price of beef at an all-time high, families are reaching for Hamburger Helper to help stretch their dollars. Hamburger Helper was first introduced in 1971, and in the decades that have passed, it has been seen as a forgotten food from a bygone time. Well, times have changed. Hamburger Helper is now, well, back in favor. Sales have soared nearly 15% in the past year as the price of ground beef has gone up 11%.
We have the highest price of ground beef ever. It's up to $6.31 a pound. Steaks, for example, are up to about $14 a pound. So what people are looking to do is they're looking to stretch their budget and, frankly, to stretch the meat.
All right, this is what I want to apologize for. I forgot one of my basic principles, and that's 100% on me. Everybody has that food that reminds them of when they were broke. And you're going to love that food from now until the end of eternity. And when I was talking about this earlier, I was saying, you know what, we don't got to live like this anymore. Like, I don't have any interest in 2025 in eating Hamburger Helper. None. Not a little bit. I've had enough Hamburger Helper in my life. There's more out there. I don't have any interest. Text line went crazy. Text line's talking about all the different flavors they got. People were saying they're having Hamburger Helper later today. I can't imagine. Some of you work like really tough, hard jobs. And I'm appreciative that you make us a part of your day. Like, I can't imagine some of you that wake up in the morning and then, you know, you work hard, you're on your feet all day, your back hurts, you go home and you look at your wife who you love, you're married for 14 years, you guys got kids together, and you say, babe, what's for dinner? And she looks at you and she says, Hamburger Helper. That's not a life I want to live. But then I remember everybody has that food that reminds them of when they were broke. I still eat ramen noodles to this day. When it's a late night snack, you know what? I love a ramen noodles, chicken flavor. I don't eat beef. I'll eat the beef, but I like the chicken flavor. I don't like the shrimp either. Just give me the chicken flavor. I'm sitting there. I'm trying to figure out what I want to eat. I'm either going a little late night sandwich or I'm going a little ramen noodles. That's you guys, ramen noodles. I get it. I can't hate on that. If it makes you comfortable, if that reminds you of your childhood, you had it coming up. I can't hate on that. That's wrong. So you know what? I want to go back and I want to apologize. I won't judge you guys. You're entitled one struggle meal. That's what it is. You are entitled to one struggle meal. And if Hamburger Helper is your struggle meal, cool. Somebody on the text line is saying, I'm saying if that's not why you're eating it for the nostalgia, I'm just saying, hey, you got to come on now. It's got to be a little bit more creative at this point. At Hamburger Helper, it ain't helping no more. It ain't helping. I don't have any interest in Hamburger Helper in 2025. None. Not even a little bit. Like if I go, can you imagine you go over to somebody's house for dinner? Like Rob, I imagine like you and your wife, you go over other couples' houses for dinner, right? Like that's a standard thing. You and your wife go over your wife's friend and her husband. You go over there. You guys probably watch KU, a little basketball game together, you know, a little quality time. Can you imagine if you go over there and you say, what's for dinner? And then they tell you Hamburger Helper. And that little, you know, that little frozen Texas toast that you can put in the oven. If they tell you that, I assume, hey, is everything okay?
First of all, the Texas toast, if you have it with non-Hamburger Helper, ain't bad.
Somebody on the text line says, you sound like an elite Johnson County Jayhawk fan right now. Hey, man, like, come on. We're going to end the show with fighting words? That's how we're going to end it? I'm just saying that you're entitled to one. Somebody's saying grilled cheese. That's mine. Meatloaf. Yeah, you're entitled to one struggle meal. That's what I'm saying. You're entitled to one. Mine's ramen noodles. But come on now. I mean, Hamburger Helper? I'm seeing a lot of questionable decisions on the text line. Long John Silver's, Hamburger Helpers. You guys make fun of me for eating Dippin' Dots. I get crucified on this show for eating Dippin' Dots. It's crazy, man. I'm serious. That's crazy. Rob, I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you had a lot of fun today. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.